The following is a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.
How does a full meal Lord's Supper meeting work? Well, that's what we're going to talk about on today's episode of Grace in Focus. Hi, I'm Lucas Kitchen with the Grace Evangelical Society. Thank you so much for joining us. Currently, we're taking questions from listeners just like you. If you've got a question you'd like answered, you can send us an email, radio@faithalone.org. Well, let's go right to today's discussion. With Dr. Bob Wilkin and Sean Lazar. Here's Grace in Focus.
Welcome to Grace in Focus. My name's Sean.
Hi, I'm Bob.
And we are taking your questions. Here's one from Florin. And Florin asks, Bob, you've mentioned the Lord's Supper meeting. Could you give us a brief format of how your church conducts a Lord's Supper meeting? Maybe an outline of sorts?
Yes, our church, Victor Street Bible Chapel, what we do is, and it's varied over the years, but we begin with a scripture reading. We read two chapters of scripture a day, so in our Lord's Supper meeting, we read one of those two, and one of the men reads that passage of scripture, which is really kind of before our meeting even begins. Then we have one of the men pray for the bread. And we partake of the bread. And from there, we then have a meal. Maybe the first 5 or 10 minutes, we're just eating either in silence or with just some occasional conversation between husband and wife or something. And then one of the men has been set aside to lead the discussion. And so he will then present, while we're still finishing up eating, he will present about a 20-minute presentation on typically on a passage of Scripture. Sometimes a topic, but most of the time it's a passage. And so he will walk through the passage for about 20 minutes, and then he will throw it open for discussion from the men, and the men will make comments and ask questions, and we will interact for maybe another 20 minutes.
Okay.
Then at the end of that time, one of the men will give thanks for the cup, and we will partake of the cup.
It's set aside, right? Like at the very beginning of the meal, it's like you have the bread and you have like the little thing of grape juice already set aside.
Right.
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 When he begins by praying for the bread, everyone takes that little piece of bread that they've already set aside.
Right.
Right.
Right. Sometimes we've used bread. Sometimes we've used unleavened like matzah or whatever.
Yeah. The crackers.
Yeah. Then after we have the cup, give thanks for the cup and partake of the cup, we sing some songs, then we have a prayer time at the end, and we will take prayer requests and have one of the men lead in prayer for that, and then the meeting's over.
Right.
But the whole meeting runs from about 12:30 to about 2 o'clock. There have been times over the years, I've been there almost 30 years next year, and there were times where the whole meeting would run from 12:30 to 1:30. It would be an hour. Now it's more like 12:30 to 2:15, because sometimes the discussion with the men goes for 40 minutes, or so it's an hour between the teaching and the discussion. There was a time when it was Sunday night, and so we'd have a meeting from 10:30 to around 11:45 Sunday morning. Then we'd come back at, let's say, 6:30 at night and go till about 7:30. The problem with that, and the reason we switched to this other method, is many of us drive almost an hour to get there. Now we do both, and that way people can come at 10:30 and leave around 2.
Right.
So it's a pretty long meeting, but it's nothing like coming at 10:30 and then having to come back again at 6:30.
Right. So how have you seen it done elsewhere? Have you ever been to Bob Bryant's church and their Lord's Supper
meeting? I've not been to Bob Bryant's, but from what I've heard, what they do is they have their normal Sunday morning meeting, and then they have two Lord's Suppers, one on Sunday night and one on Monday night. They have a big fellowship hall in which they put the tables in kind of a square around the side, and they can accommodate about 75.
And Victor Street, same thing, right? It's basically you guys have a little fellowship hall,
right,
and the tables are in a square.
Right.
The reason why you do it in a square is there's nothing special about a square. It's just kind of makes sense in that space to have one. But you want something to facilitate discussion so people are looking at each other.
Right,
so,
exactly.
Yeah.
Again, the point is that the women are silent except for, like I say, during the eating, a wife might say something, although some of the women feel they shouldn't say anything. But basically, that's how Bob Bryant does it. Now, I've spoken at several Brethren churches mm-hmm. in the past, and the way most Brethren churches do it is there's a Sunday school meeting, sometimes men and women separately, sometimes for all, like, let's say, 9 o'clock. Then, mm-hmm. at like 10 o'clock, they'll have a Lord's Supper meeting that runs an hour. Mm-hmm. And the way their Lord's Supper meeting works is there's no meal. Everybody's facing, they're in the main auditorium, they're all facing right. straight ahead, and one man will stand up.
Right.
And he will give a short statement about a passage of Scripture for like a minute.
Yeah.
And then another man will stand up and lead in a song. And in some of the Indian Plymouth Brethren churches I've been in, they'll actually start the song by singing the first line themselves.
Okay.
And if it's in the Indian assemblies, they might sing it in English or they might sing it in Malayalam.
Ah.
And then the others will join in. And it will go this way with the singing, the teaching, and then typically at the very end of all that, one of the men will go forward in front of the assembly
yeah.
and will give a brief, like, 5-minute message about the cross of Christ and his broken body and his shed blood.
Right.
And then we will partake of the bread, and they will pass it around like a typical church.
Yeah.
And then we will partake of the wine, and they will pass it around. And in some Brethren churches, they have, you know, like most churches, just grape juice. And some they have an option where the inner circle might be, I get confused, but I think it's the inner circle is wine and the outer circle is grape juice, or the other way around.
Yeah, you get confused,
I got confused one time, and I was like, was that gasoline? What was that?
Yeah, that's funny.
And
But they don't have the meal. They don't have the supper part of it. They kind of stick to the Lord's Supper over time has become a token, ritualized, symbolic meal for a lot of people, just a little piece of bread,
right.
a little bit of grape
right.
juice. But in the New Testament, it was a deipnon, a meal, a real supper.
And you've talked about this when you've written about this before. 1 Corinthians 11, he took the cup after supper, saying
right.
there were actually multiple cups in the Passover celebration, the Seder. In the Last Supper, where the Lord instituted the Lord's Supper,
yeah.
there had been cups before that.
Yeah.
But he took the cup after supper, and he said, this is the new covenant in my blood.
Right.
And so that's when he was initiating what we call the Lord's Supper or communion. And then, by the way, in most Brethren churches, from this 10 to 11, then they, after a brief break, they will have their sermon. And so yeah. there will be a sermon from like 11 to 12.
Okay.
And then some Plymouth Brethren churches, like, for example, the Indian ones I've spoken at, they then have a meal after that.
Mm-hmm.
So they do have a meal.
Right.
It's just not associated with their Lord's Supper meal.
Yeah, right. And, you know, a lot of people might wonder about that. They might be hearing about that for the first time. And Bob Ryan has a great talk about this from our 2020 conference, I think, the October 2020 conference. That was a weird conference because of COVID.
Right.
We had to postpone it. But he has a talk about this, about the supper. And that's the third element that everyone kind of misses. Paul says, like you just mentioned, Bob, you know, he says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. We all know about the bread. And then in verse 25, in the same manner, he also took the cup. We all know about the cup. But it says he took the cup after supper. So it's like that supper is that middle element, bread, supper, and cup, and that meal together. I mean, all Christians know that eating a meal together intensifies fellowship.
Right.
Right. We all know that. But we don't kind of always see that in the Lord's Supper. So what kind of benefits do you see in doing the Lord's Supper that way around a shared meal and with, you know, conversation and interaction?
Well, the biggest thing I see, and you also see this in the Brethren churches where everybody's just facing forward and a man stands up,
uh-huh.
is that men are more involved in the ministry of the local church than normal.
Right.
Because they're kind of forced into a role of saying something because the women aren't going to speak. And so either the men speak or nothing happens. And more men get involved because over time they realize they have something to say. Mm-hmm. And more men will ask questions. And so what you get, and particularly it's true in the way we do it, where one man speaks and then we have 20 or so minutes with comments and questions, it gets much more involvement in the whole body.
Right.
And it's very, very productive. And what I found is that the women that attend this, instead of resenting being silent, they like it because, for the most part, they like to see their fathers or their husbands
right.
taking a spiritual role
yeah.
in the local church. And if it's a traditional church where you just have a sermon, well, the men are just sitting there.
Well, they're all going to be silent anyways, right, as you listen to the sermon.
Right.
Right? So it's
the
like
men the, and the women.
So the silence doesn't really change there.
Right.
But at least, like, doing this way, you have lots of different people get to contribute. Lots of different men get to contribute
right.
to the discussion and talk and bring some knowledge. And just being able to ask questions just helps with the learning. And then listening, we've often mentioned that just listening to a dialogue, two people talking, is often more productive than just listening to a monologue because you're getting your questions answered.
Right. Now, one danger in this, of course, is you can have men who abuse the privilege, right? They start
right.
preaching and they start taking up too much time, mm-hmm. but that's where the elders come in. They instruct the men to keep their comments short.
Yeah.
They instruct the men to continue the theme where the Holy Spirit's leading. Don't just jump in with some new topic. You've got a question about something unrelated to what we're talking about.
Yeah.
Save that for another time.
Right.
And so the elders keep people in check, and as a result, I think the discussion flows pretty well in
right.
our church.
So good discussion just doesn't happen automatically. It has
no.
to be taught. It has to be learned. It takes time for that
right.
to happen.
When you get into an assembly like this, you watch what the other people do. I mean, I was probably coming to this for months before I got real active.
Mm-hmm.
Because at the beginning, I was like, I need to see how this works.
Yeah, exactly. Well, great. Great thoughts, Bob and Florin. I hope that answers your question. And maybe some people hearing about the way Victor Street and other churches do a Lord's Supper with a conversation around a full meal might give you ideas, you know, for how you can increase fellowship and participation in your local church. Well, keep your questions coming. We absolutely love to hear from you guys. Radio@faithalone.org is where you can send the emails, and keep on listening.
Thank you, gentlemen, for that great discussion. Would you be interested in some free ebooks on subjects like what you hear on the show? Well, if you are, you need to come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. On the site, we've got all kinds of free materials, but one of our popular options are our free ebooks on a range of subjects. They're designed to help you mature and grow in your understanding of the faith and Scripture. So come visit us at faithalone.org. That's faithalone.org. We are so thankful for our financial partners who keep us on the air. Every gift is tax deductible and very much appreciated. If you'd like to find out more about how you can give, go to faithalone.org. Would you like to have a chat with Dr. Bob or Sean? I know that I enjoy it. Let me tell you how to reach out to the team. You can get us on our email address, which is radio@faithalone.org. That's radio@faithalone.org. Tomorrow on the program, we're going to talk about blood transfusions, so join us for that. I'm Lucas Kitchen with Grace Evangelical Society, and until next time, let's keep grace in focus.
The preceding has been a listener-supported ministry from the Grace Evangelical Society.